Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.
So what do you have for us today? I bet the word Amazon's involved somewhere.
Actually, I wasn't going to mention the A word for the whole of the next half hour.
I'm impressed. Yes. Okay.
But it may sneak in now that you've mentioned it. Amazon. Oh, it slipped out. So we're taking to the skies, or potentially taking to the skies. There's an Israeli aerospace firm called Urban Aeronautics, which is a good name, isn't it? Urban Aeronautics. It really comes
sounds slightly like a tautology, but okay.
It does. What? A tautology?
Well, if it's urban, how can it be aeronautic? By and large, you don't have to fly in a city.
No, you don't. It wouldn't be a tautology, strictly speaking, would it?
I don't know.
Aerial aeronautics would be a tautology. What you're talking about is...
Yes, I'm sorry, you're absolutely right.
Something else entirely, an oxymoron.
Yes, you're right. It is an oxymoron, yes.
Moving on from grammar...
I'm just being a complete moron now.
These people have been working on a flying car called Cormorant, which is developed for military use, and they've just announced City Hawk, get it? It's a little pun on Kitty Hawk.
Right.
Kitty Hawk being the...
Yes, the Wright brothers.
The Wright brothers plane, yeah. Exactly. It's a VTOL, vertical takeoff and landing, civilian flying car. And the idea is that the blades are contained within large circular wells where traditionally the bonnet and the boot would be. So they're completely enclosed, unlike a helicopter with the blades above, so that there's no chance of the blades slicing people in half as they wander near the car.
Yeah.
And
tends to lead the old lawsuit.
I'm sure it will, exactly. The car does include a built-in parachute, just in case anything goes wrong while they're up there.
Right.
And they say it's expected within 5 years, and for 5 years in flying car circles, read 15 years.
Well, I can't have a feeling that you and I both remember, episodes of Tomorrow's World when we were young, or our comic look
they
and learn.
They were promised, weren't they?
We were going to have flying cars just around the corner.
By the year 2000, yeah. I think, when everything was going to
never
change.
Never arrived.
It never arrived.
But maybe now.
Well, the thing about flying cars is a flying car may cost, I don't know, £500,000, which is a lot for a car. But if it means, rather than putting down a deposit on a two-bedroom flat in the middle of London that would cost you, £750,000, you could buy a manor house in the north of Scotland for a tenth of that and spend the rest on a car that will quickly ferry you between the two.
And presumably, these sort of things will soon become autonomous, so you can sleep.
And you can sleep, and indeed party and revel the night away as you're travelling around above our heads.
Hmm.
Yes, and all this will definitely
So lots of these City Hawks could sort of get together, so you have a party, you just walk from one car to the other.
Yeah.
You're boogieing on down.
as you say, boogieing along down, yes. So, don't expect them soon, but there are people still working on them, and good luck to them.
What I did find slightly odd, I was just having a look at a picture, and they've got these blades, as you say, contained with these circular cavities in the boot and the bonnet area. That then means, where's the boot?
I think these are somewhat bigger than your average car, so there will still be a boot.
All right.
There probably won't be a bonnet, because I doubt there are many universal parts inside these things.
Okay.
So moving on from those to, electric cars. And electric cars, as you know, very big news. Everyone wants you to buy an electric car. The registrations for electric cars in the UK were stood at 3,500 in 2013. By this April, they were up to 97,000. So a huge increase in the number of electric cars. The trouble is, they all need to be charged up. And this is something that no one's really addressed yet. Because each car... To charge an electric car uses the equivalent of powering a typical home for 3 days.
Yes, well, this is the bizarre thing that nobody ever talks about. Everybody thinks that electric cars are fantastically environmentally friendly.
Yes.
Nobody ever thinks about the electricity that is required in order to charge the car in the first place.
Well, indeed, people do think about that to some extent. But the two arguments are, firstly, it is moving the pollution from... the middle of the city to somewhere out in the country where it's not really bothering anyone, apart from people who live near there, of course.
Yes, this famous Scottish manor where you That's everybody right. with fine cars exactly. goes. Yes.
And secondly, that nuclear power stations are somewhat more efficient at producing power than your typical car engine. Mm-hmm. If that weren't the case, then they'd get rid of the nuclear power stations yes. and just have car parks full of cars with running engines. So there are certainly savings to be made in that way. So the problem is, they've been doing some research and they've come to the conclusion that if there were six cars charging near each other, this would cause blackouts in the street. That they draw so much power. And they haven't really got a solution to this. So there are meters. You can see car charging points are appearing yes. all over London. Most of these are not smart charging points. They are dumb charging points. The thing about a dumb charging point is when you plug the car in, it charges, which actually sounds pretty smart to me. But what a real smart one is one that knows what the other ones are all doing and doesn't charge it until there's capacity to right. charge it.
Which is a bit of a problem if you come back to your car at the end of the day and there hasn't been any capacity.
Yes, that would absolutely
you're
be
sleeping
a bit of
in the
problem.
Car.
You're sleeping in the car. Well, yeah, so there's a lot that is still to be sorted out. But certainly as electric cars become more prevalent and more popular and indeed cheaper, more people will buy them and that will become a major issue. So they are going to have to work out how to do that. Mm. I think if you're charging at your home, again, the problem is the car's parked out in the road. And your littlest electrical socket is, you know, in your kitchen.
I can't help thinking, of course, the councils are very keen that everybody use electric cars, so they provide these charging points free. Mm. If you happen to have one of those outside your house, you could charge your house for 3 days if you ran a cable out.
You probably could. I imagine they have a slightly different kind of socket. I don't think it's a regular 13 amp.
I was just thinking I could have saved masses on my electricity
you
bill.
You could have done. You would be rumbled eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there we go. The pros and cons of electric cars.
So from the pros and cons of electric cars, what now?
Well, there are plenty of voice assistants out there. So there's Apple's Siri. There's
You're not going to mention that one, are you?
And there's the other one from a company whose name I forget.
Okay, that's fine.
And the trouble with all these voices is that they are bland. They are obviously computer voices. They wouldn't really pass the Turing test. The Turing test, as you know, being when you're talking to one, if you're aware that you're talking to a machine rather than a human.
Yes.
As a sideline, there was a computer that had a artificial intelligence that did pass the Turing test, but only by pretending to be a 12-year-old Ukrainian boy, which explained its lack of correct grammar and syntax and limited vocabulary. And that fooled people into thinking it was real.
Okay.
So the Chinese team have been working on what they call the emotional chatting machine, or ECM for short, which can talk to you while expressing emotions. Emotions like happiness, sadness, and even disgust. And the idea is that this will then be implemented in other things that talk to you, other artificial intelligences, for want of a better phrase, and that then they'll be able to talk to you and sound more like people and get more irritated with you, which is probably a good thing. Yeah. They should be warned. They should remember the experience of Microsoft Millennial Chatbot. Do you remember this one?
No.
The Millennial Chatbot was launched to a great flourish online last year. This was Microsoft Artificial Intelligence, and they were encouraging people from all over the world to come and talk to it and, you know, engage it in conversation. And as is the case with things on the internet, mischief took hold.
Oh, yes,
and
I do recall
that. And by the end of the day, it was tweeting phrases such as, "I hate feminists and they should all die and burn in hell," and "Hitler did nothing wrong." And so Microsoft closed it down just 16 hours after they launched it. Mm. So that is the trouble with the internet. You can't put things out there and expect people to treat it with kid gloves.
Slightly odd. You think that nobody at Microsoft uses the internet?
Well, yeah. Yes, you would think. But then you haven't seen Microsoft Word. I don't think they use software.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So there we go. The emotional chatting machine, it may yet influence the machines. In fact, I was talking to someone recently who expressed concern that their children had forgotten how to say please and thank you, because when they were talking to Alexa or to Siri or to whatever, they didn't need to use these words.
So what really the programmes should do is put an occasional, a thank you wouldn't go amiss.
Exactly, exactly.
Or what's, so maybe... or what's the magic word? Can I have the news, please, Siri or Alexa?
What's the magic word?
What's the magic word?
Yeah, yeah.
Now.
Maybe some built-in grumpiness would help.
Yes, grumpiness is quite interesting because that really does sort of prove then that it's human, I suppose. Yes, and let me have a bit of grumpiness about Siri then, and the fact that my iPhone Siri doesn't really work most of the time. It will only work in the car. Most of the programs disable the microphone on my iPhone, which I know works because it works with voice memos, but it just doesn't work with lots of other programs.
To
it's
be
infuriating.
Fair, most of your technology doesn't really work with you. I think you do have a knack of disabling technology.
I should be employed at a vastly inflated salary by tech companies to try their products. If it works with me, the chance that it will work with anybody.
My wife used to have a colleague who could stop a computer by walking into the room. Literally, she would walk into a room and the computers would go wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
It used to be said of people that their face could stop a clock, but that's really
impressive. No, that really is, isn't it?
It is.
Sharing ideas about money. This is Share Radio.
We are talking gadgets and gizmos, and sometimes gizmos and gadgets, with Steve Kaplan, our technology editor.
We are, and there are plenty of automatic food dispensers out there. You can be dispensed not only Mars bars and packets of crisps and drinks, but in some cases the machines that will cook you hamburgers and serve them up, and automatic pizza-making machines.
Well, you say automatic, you have to ask them first.
You have to ask them first. They don't just sense that you're hungry and fire a hamburger at you as you walk past.
Oh, I quite like the idea.
Well, a California company called Chowbotics, not a good name, Chowbotics, have managed to raise $5 million in funding for Sally the Salad Robot.
Oh, my God.
Yes, indeed. And Sally the Salad Robot...
I mean, I approve of alliteration, but that's just daft.
It is. Sally the Salad Server would have done it. The robot, you don't need the robot in there.
Yes. Sally the Salad Server is droll.
It is. Sally the Salad Robot just isn't. It has a sort of 1950s ring to it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Not right. Anyway, it uses 21 ingredients, and it can produce either salads created by the Chowbotics executive chef, whose name temporarily escapes me, or... It might be Sally, or though he has a beard, I've seen him. He's definitely not a Sally. Or you can build your own salad from its 21 seasonal ingredients. There are a couple of drawbacks. One is that
why am I not surprised?
One is that the machine is incapable of either chopping or peeling its own ingredients. So if you own one of these, you have to feed it with chopped salad items before you go in.
In much the same way as you might chop items, then put them into a bowl in order to create a salad.
Exactly. Just so.
Okay.
The second drawback is it costs $30,000, which is quite a lot for a machine that's going to make salads for you.
Given that the alternative is you just put the things in a bowl and give it to people, that's quite a lot.
The idea is that this would be placed not in people's homes, but in fast food outlets, in sandwich bars, places like that, in airports. So whoever's preparing the salads would chop all everything up in the usual way, but then rather than saying, you know, do you want onions with that? Do you want garlic sauce? Do you want pine nuts? Do you want tomatoes? Do you want, I'm running out of salad ideas, cucumber? That they will chop all these up, put them into the machine, and people will go and choose their own salads. And 1 minute later, they say it takes about a minute, their salad will be delivered.
Well, maybe that's not so daft. Okay.
It's not so daft. It's quite interesting. Who knows if they're actually going to roll these things out? They've made one of them so far, and they've installed it in their own headquarters, and they are hoping that orders will roll in. But I suspect people may be a little bit slow on the uptake with this. $30,000 is a lot for a device that doesn't save that much labour.
True, but I suppose the very first restaurant to have Sally the Salad Robot, if that's still what they're going to call it, there might be a little bit of, USP originality about
there would,
about
be
that.
A bit of a buzz
whether people
that.
Would flock to it or not, I don't know.
If there were such a restaurant in London, I would go there.
Yes, you would, wouldn't you?
I would, yes, because I'm like that.
If only to tell other people not to bother.
I like robots with restaurants. Have you...
You like robots with restaurants? Are there many robots that have restaurants?
Have you been to Enamo?
No.
Enamo, am I allowed to advertise this? I suppose not. We're not the BBC, after all. Enamo is a chain of Asian fusion restaurants, so vaguely sort of Oriental stuff. But the menu is projected onto a plate-sized... A plate-sized plate. The hanging above every table are four projectors, assuming there are four people sitting at the table.
Right.
And you can change the colour of the tablecloth, things like that, just by pressing the buttons. And as you go through the menu, the food that you're about to order is projected onto your plate. So you can see what it's going to look like on your plate before you order it. Everything is ordered through the table.
It's a great way of dieting. You can see the food, you can see the food,
exactly. Very entertaining. And they have things like kitchen cameras, so you can watch them preparing your food again, projected onto your plate. It's a lot of fun. And surprisingly, given the fact that they put so much effort into technology, the food's pretty good as well.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned that before on Gadgets and Gizmos. You've clearly been quite a few times.
I've been quite a few times, yes. Hmm. There are three in London. There's one in Camden, just opened. One in Soho and one in, I think it's in Holborn. The recent one in Camden is in a light, airy room with floor-to-ceiling windows, which sadly means you can't see any of the projections.
It is extraordinary how people don't think things through. I was playing cricket just recently. Gorgeous new pavilion designed with a bar to be used by the local community on a new housing estate near Didcot. And they had one of these giant screens in a very bright, airy room with, as far as I could see, no curtains or blinds of any sort. And it was done through a projector. And as a result, you could barely see anything on the screen.
Yes. Curious, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. It's crazy. So Microsoft doesn't use the internet. People designing these restaurants clearly never emerge during the daytime.
No, that's right.
It does seem... when you consider that's the USP for the restaurant...
It is odd that they didn't think of that. Anyway.
It's odd. We're so much cleverer than all the people we talk about, but somehow they're the ones that make the money.
Isn't it always the way? We're on to Indiegogo and the world's smartest. We talked last week about how everything is the world's smartest or the world's first smart.
Smart, yes.
This is called Square Off, and it is the world's smartest chessboard.
Oh, well, that probably is smart.
It is smart.
Normally expect the chess players to be smart rather than the actual board.
You do. You don't expect the chessboard. So this is it's a regular chessboard. It's a nice sort of rosewood board with wooden pieces. And the idea is you can play with people the other side of the world. Mm. You can play with their chess app on their phone. And you make your move. They make their move remotely. And when they make their move, their chess piece moves on the board of its own accord, by magic.
Spooky. And how does that happen?
Little magnets moving around underneath the board, I suspect. They haven't revealed exactly how it works, but little magnets. Now, curiously, I saw something like this a good 10 years ago in a shop window of a game of chess playing itself, which was fascinating to watch. That was then enormously expensive, in the thousands, and it would only play itself. But this will play against other people elsewhere in the world.
So it would only play itself? So you watched a machine play itself? That doesn't seem
very... No, you could play against it.
Oh, good. I was going to say, otherwise...
But in demo mode, otherwise, they could put it on regular mode and just put it in the shop window, but then you wouldn't see anything happening.
Yes, I realise. Okay.
Playing itself. This is, as I say, on Indiegogo at the moment. It starts at $249. Which is actually quite reasonable for an automatic self-playing chessboard. There is a more deluxe version for $299, but for the life of me, I couldn't work out what the difference was. So far, they've raised 400,000, so it looks like they're going to go ahead with this. They reckon that shipping will start at the end of June. So they're clearly very, very close to...
I'm not great at chess. This may not surprise you at all. Friends of mine who are good at chess, particularly one in particular... when he plays remote games, he plays more than one at a time. Because people often think of... And this, presumably, won't cope with that. You'd have to have one for each person you were playing.
Yes, you would. But your friend presumably has a different app for each person that he's playing? Or a different board for each person he's playing?
I don't know.
Yeah, so some people do. I remember once seeing a grandmaster who came to visit the university that I was at. And not that interested in chess, but I thought I'd go hang and watch him. And there were 25 people arranged in a circle, each with their own chessboard. And he simply walked around the circle, making move after move, and
beat most of them.
And beat most of them. I think beat all of them, because he had the ability just to take in the situation in an instant.
Yeah.
And remember, you know, what each board was doing. But then they are strange people, chess players. So there we go. So $249, square off. Take a look at it on Indiegogo. It's a very, very cute idea. If you're into chess and you're into chess with playing chess with people who aren't there, then this could be just the thing for you.
Okay. What now?
Well, summer is starting to rear its ugly head. Summer is a coming in, as you say. What was that? Lao Tsing Cuckoo? What was that from? That's some sort of ancient poem by somebody or other, isn't it?
I don't know, I'm afraid. I just remember the music that goes with it.
Oh, don't sing it.
No, I won't.
Okay. So, as you say, summer is a coming in. And so here's a couple of ideas from what is fast becoming my favourite online retail outlet, banggood.com. One is the iPre Outdoor Portable Air Lounger. iPre spelled I-P-R and then two little E's. So I'm not really sure how you pronounce that. iPre. And it is a it's an airbed for lounging on. So not for sleeping on, more like a sort of inflatable sofa. And the clever thing about it is it's a polyester tube. And to fill it up with air, you just hold it up and waft it, and it fills with air naturally. You close the ends and then roll it up, and the rolling up process compresses the air inside it so that it makes it comfortable to sit on. It sounds absolutely ingenious. It gets a load of five-star reviews, and it costs £11.78, including delivery from the other side of the world.
It is extraordinary. I know somebody wanted to import some radios from in order to sell on from China, and was claiming they were being charged an enormous amount for all of these. And you think, well, that's strange, because if you're just buying them off some website like Banggood, they've virtually sent them across for nothing.
It is.
Some way
it is extraordinary, isn't it?
Of doing that. So you wave it and it fills with air.
Yeah. So you just drag it through the air and it fills with air as it would, because air is going into it. And then you just close the end.
Yes, but you wonder if it would be, if enough air would go in.
No, enough air goes in to fill it with air, as you'd imagine, because you're dragging it through the air, and then you close it, and then you roll it up. So you roll the end that you've just closed.
Oh, and that
squeezes.
And in
so doing, you squeeze the air up.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, I've put down my £11.78, because I think it's worth a punt on that to find out. So when it arrives, I'll bring it into the studio and see if there's room to do it in here.
Okay, we shall do Gadget and Gizmos from a prone position as we try.
We will.
Will you have two of them or just one?
Oh, well, I was only going to get... Well, it'll take two people. I'm sure they're big enough for two people.
OK. Well, what should we finish with?
We can finish with water balloons. Water balloons are, you know, great fun, particularly if you have small children, or, in fact, greater fun if you are a small child. And the trouble with water balloons is filling them up. Until now, introducing...
What do you mean the problem with... It's quite easy to fill them up.
It's a bit of
not
a
that
pain.
I would know.
It's a bit of a pain filling them up, because they are too tight to get over the average tap, and they're a real fiddle and they fire off the tap. So the Honana MB693F is the name for. I hope you've made note of that, because I won't be repeating it. It is an adapter for water balloons.
Hmm.
The adapter goes on the tap. The adapter has a number of straws hanging down from it with little rubber bands to fix the water balloons on. It can fill 37 balloons at once. 37 balloons at once.
I wouldn't want to walk near that house.
You really wouldn't. And it takes 1 minute to fill all 37 balloons. I think it's absolutely splendid.
Have you sent off one of those?
I haven't, because I want to discourage my children. I thought they're a little bit old for water balloons, I have to say. So, but you can get the tap adapter with 111
What a summer
balloons.
Party out in the garden.
Summer party. Well, next time you have one, I shall bring the water balloons.
Okay, sounds quite
tap nice. Adapter, the Honana MB693F. Tap adapter with 111 balloons, £2.98 from banggood.com, including delivery.
I know what I'm getting. Now, as it happens, I looked it up. Summer is a Coming In is a medieval English round from the mid-13th century, and we'll be delighted to know was spoofed by P.D.Q. Bach. Who I know we
both
admire.
I'm delighted to hear
enormously.
That.
So we'll go off and find that. Steve Kaplan, our technology editor, thank you very much indeed.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.